Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
Good morning. This morning I'm going to be reading from this wonderful old lectern Bible from the book of Psalms, chapter 66, and verses 1 through 12. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how terrible are thy deeds. So great is thy power that thy enemies cringe before thee. All the earth worships thee. They sing praises to thee. Sing praises to thy name, Selah. Come and see what God has done. He is terrible in his deed among men. He turned the seas into dry land. Men passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Bless our God, O people. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip? For thou, O God, hast tested us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou didst bring us into the net. Thou didst lay affliction on our loins. Thou didst let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet thou hast brought us forth to a spacious place. May God add his blessing to these words.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. This psalm is an invitation to consider awe. One commentary I read in preparation for this Sunday listed the following examples of awe: the Grand Canyon, a hurricane, the Hallelujah Chorus, a starry night in the desert, the birth of a child, Abraham Lincoln, Nelson Mandela. Then the author asks the reader to connect the dots, meaning what is the connection between the events or persons. Each has the ability to raise a sense of awe, in the author's words, to incite the gift of goosebumps. That's what they're asking. What gives us goosebumps? The psalm that we've just heard is a recitation of the ways and means of how the holy can do this. A study at Berkeley University in 2003 noted that people were finding greater depth and meaning through encountering religion, nature, meaning there was an increase in a sense of awe. Last year, the Pew Research Center looked at the data from 2003 and found in the analysis that while religious experience may be declining, the sensation of spiritual awareness is actually increasing, meaning we're less and less an institutional religion type of people, but spirituality still touches us where we live. Driving about the other day, I was listening to National Public Radio, and the program on was This American Life, featuring Ira Glass and his thoughts and on life. And they were actually talking about, not about awe, but about dread in a strange way. And I feel it relates to what the psalmist is saying, coming at it from the opposite angle. The first person that Ira Glass talked about was a Syrian refugee in Europe. Now, think for a minute. We can't hear about Syria and feel uplifted and a sense of awe. It's a war-torn country, and people are really struggling. Well, this Syrian refugee had to leave his home, and he ekes out a living as a food vendor on the street. And his concept of life is, this Syrian refugee's concept is, that everyone is in Sheol, which in Judaism is hell. We each come at it in our own way, and we each serve this sort of purgatory until we find our way. I don't know that I agree with that, but putting it in context with somebody who's been uprooted from their homeland, lost family and belongings, I guess I can understand that. The other story came from Ira Glass's producer, who 10 years ago lived in San Francisco. She explains that she was then a Mormon. She is no longer a member of the Mormon faith tradition, but she still has a friend who is, and she simply calls him Parker. And then she explains his life. He was, while she knew him at church, he was an active burglar in one of the most extraordinary cases in San Francisco history. The police named him the Spider-Man burglar because he came in through the openings at the roof, and he committed, I think if I remember, 72 burglaries in less than 2 months. Now, how is that a sense of awe? Well, the police had built up an extraordinary profile. They thought the person who was doing this was probably addled by drugs. They thought he planned meticulously because it took 2 months to catch him. And they were wrong. He was a college-educated, thoughtful individual, and to his friends seemed so well put together. They called him the man in the Italian loafers. He always was dressed impeccably, and what had driven him to this wasn't drugs, but a different kind of addiction. He had become a gambler to the point where he was destitute. And so on a whim, he decided to rob a business. After all, they were insured, and he didn't know them, and he could do this. And eventually, he got caught. The scenario is that he probably wanted to get caught. He had a terrible sense of self-identity, where people thought he was so well put together and so thoughtful and polite and faithful. He had a terrible, terrible sense of self-esteem, and this drove him to gamble and drove him to steal, and he got caught. Well, it doesn't end there. It's now 10 years later, he's okay, but it took two arrests and some serious counseling to break the gambling addiction. And now, while they did not give his real name because he's not there yet where he can talk about it, but he feels a sense of identity and still is a person of faith, still maintains many of the friendships he had with his friends in San Francisco. The point that Ira Glass's producer said was the point in sharing the story is, things are not always quite what they seem. We see people as put together and they may be broken. We see people as together and they aren't. So where do we find a sense of awe? How does that come to us? How do we get to a place where we appreciate that each of us has something that gives us a sense of awe? Well, 30 years ago, I was living in 29 Palms, California. And I was finishing graduate school, and I was in March of that year, I was in my last semester, and I had to get up at about, if I wasn't out of the house by 6 o'clock, I was late for my 8 o'clock class. And I was out of the house, but it was more like 6:30, and it was raining. And if you know anything about the desert, a flash flood can come up in a minute. And it wasn't quite flash flood-like, but rocks were in the street. And I was distracted because I was late, and probably because I wasn't as prepared for class as I wanted to be. And the sun was coming up behind me as I was headed west on Highway 62. And I ran over a rock and knocked my hubcap off and managed to stop and pound it back on and hurt my hands. And then I just kept moving, probably faster than I should have. And then when I got to Highway 10, I was headed still towards Claremont from 29 Palms. I saw the most awesome rainbow I had ever seen, even I think to this day. I've seen, this one was in front of me all the way across the sky. And for some reason I started to cry. And I thought I knew, but I wasn't sure. Now this is before cell phones, so I had to get to school, and then after class I called my mother and I said, I saw this rainbow, and I thought of Dad, and I started to cry. My father had just died 3 or 4 months earlier, November the 2nd, 1985. And she explained, don't you remember, as hurried and rushed as your father was any time we were on vacation, he would stop the car. And then she reminded me of a particular stop in New Mexico. Because my folks were from Pennsylvania, you had to drive through New Mexico to get there. And I remember he stopped, and it was a beautiful, beautiful rainbow, and he explained that this was God's promise that we would not be destroyed. And so I thought, okay, that the emotion of the loss of my dad was there, but the goosebump, if you will, moment of seeing that rainbow was extraordinary. 14 years ago, I was driving from Chicago with my son Aaron in his vintage Plymouth Barracuda. We were headed back, and if you don't know, Chicago's about 2,100 miles, and we had 3 days to make it, and it was going to be a push because that's 700 miles a day in an old and infirm car. But it was in good shape. It just didn't have air conditioning. So Aaron and I were driving across Iowa. And this is one of those things, you know, you say these things over and over and over to your friends and children. And because I could tell you how many times I heard phrases from my folks and thought, you know, they've said that 10,000 times. Now that I'm the age I am, I'd pay anything to hear them tell those stories again. So we're in Iowa and it's raining like crazy. And Aaron stops the car. And I said, well, is something wrong? Did I not hear something break? And he said, no, look. And he points off in the distance and there's a gorgeous rainbow. And he said, remember all those times you told that story about your dad stopping the car to show you rainbows? Did you think I wasn't listening? And we had this lovely moment. And we actually made California in 2.5 days, not 3. We're supposed to act in faith. And I know some of us have a sinus headache, or our feet hurt, or our knees, or our hips, or whatever. We come at this life with our own little infirmities, but we're called to look for awe. For me, anytime I do a baptism and I hold a baby, I think, what an extraordinary miracle. I know the science of it, folk, but to hold a baby and think, what will she be? What will he do? That gives me hope. Paula Spencer Scott writes for Parade magazine occasionally, and in one that is in your Sunday newspaper, I read a little article. It's worth a look if because I'm just going to tell you a snippet of what she said. She wrote about how awe may just be the key to health and happiness. If we lose our sense of awe, if we lose our sense of a willingness to let something give us goosebumps, we're done. Well, duh, the psalmist figured that out thousands of years ago. The sounds that the psalmist offers are for us to sing of the awesomeness of our God, to sing and dance. The psalm that Pauline just read, about, I think, 3 times, the word Selah is uttered in that psalm. I didn't know what that was until I was in college, and one of my professors was a rabbi, Dr. Martin Fearman, God bless him. We ask him, what does that mean? What is that Selah? And as best I remember it, he said it's a musical interlude between the music that is the psalm. Selah. Pause, look at a rainbow, smell a rose, watch a puppy, and delight. May it ever be so. Amen.